Well, it's like the magic of teleportation. Just a few hours ago, I was in Los Angeles doing the program. Right after that was done, took a little nap, and then off to LAX I went. And here I am now back in St. Louis. Same thing's going to happen right after this program. It's right to the airport and off to Chicago I go for the Health Freedom Expo speech that I've got to give on Saturday morning along with the luncheon. Those of you in the Chicago area waiting to look forward to this event at all. Because, look, your health is critically important, as I'm going to talk about Saturday. And without that, you can't do anything for anybody else. Hey, in addition to our open line calls, if any of you have that feeling of something impending, whatever it is, could be something wonderful, could be a catastrophe, check in with me. I'd like to get your feeling on that. Again, I'm beginning to feel that old feeling again. And, you know, we've had a wave of things going on. That the Joplin tornado and just about everything else, the tsunami in Japan, I still have a feeling there's something else afoot, and I just can't put my finger on it. Maybe you can if you want to share that with us. And by the way, jumping ahead, as I was looking at a calendar today, marking these days off like crazy, I can't believe we're going into June 11th on Saturday, and we'll be on June 13th on Monday. It's just going way too fast, but on the Independence weekend, and it's not too far to think about that, we will have live programming for you again. It's the first Sunday of July, so I'll have a live show for you that Sunday night. And then Monday is Independence Day. It's the 4th, and I'll be doing the live program for you that night as well. So the holidays are covered for you. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Honolulu in Hawaii. Nathan's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Nathan, welcome. Hello, Nathan. Well, we're going to have to let Nathan go in Hawaii, but we've got Chuck in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Chuck, go ahead.
How you doing there, George?
Good, Chuck. Thank you.
Been a big fan for a long time, first-time caller.
What finally got you to call?
Just talking about dreams and out-of-body experiences, and now you've added the impending gloom that I feel every day.
you do feel it.
Yeah. When I was a kid in church, my teacher drew a timeline, and he had some dates on there, and he said, "When do we think the world is going to end?" And he handed me the chalk, and I didn't know anything about the end of the world or anything, and I put a slash mark near 2010 just after.
Oh, God. And that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was back in the 70s. I had no idea about Mayan calendars or anything back then, but I remember that to this day. You know, getting to other things, I've had dreams of levitating down my driveway cross-legged when I was a kid, sitting in the Indian position and levitating, and then going down the street and going up the street, and I'd wake up. Same kind of thing happens now these days, but I'll be like in a car on bridges that are kind of floating, and then all the bridges start collapsing down into the water or onto the ground, and somehow I'm trying to balance the one that's underneath my car to get to the next one while other people are falling into the pits below. So that's a weird dream.
That is a strange one.
And I have dream things, and they come true in the future. Some people call it deja vu, but I go, no, I dreamed that 2 weeks ago. That happened.
Do you know it's going to happen, or you don't know until it's happened?
No, I don't know it's going to happen, and it scares the ever living hell out of me because I dreamed a bank robbery one time with a gun in my face, and it happened a week later.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're very intuitive. Yeah. You've got this precognitive dreaming ability.
I've never tried to tap into it any kind of way or anything else like that. And as far as out-of-body experiences, I've been asleep, and I do have sleep apnea, but I've also woken up and had dark shadow figures on my chest with their hands around my neck choking me.
Well, and you got that, go ahead.
That's happened to me twice, and and I've yelled at them, and then I see more than one or two that have been sitting on my chest. I see other figures pull back into the walls like shadows, and they disappear into the walls, and it's very strange.
It is weird. You've got some demons out there, Chuck. Be careful about that. In terms of the precognitive dreaming, that's tremendously a gift. You just got to be able to figure out when they're going to happen and exactly what's going to happen. We'll go to Denver, Colorado now, west of the Rockies. The truth is there. I like that. How there, the truth?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi,
what is
yes.
the truth? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to your show, and I didn't hear you mention anything about the Bilderbergs meeting today.
Oh, I had it last night and
oh,
the night
you did.
Before. Yeah, I sure did.
Oh.
I've been covering it for a couple of days. I had Alex Jones do a report for us.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I must have missed that. But
well, that's okay.
It's supposed to be, I believe, in about 2 hours and about 45 minutes would be high noon in Switzerland. So
they're up to no good, let me tell you.
Yeah. Just thought I'd give you a little heads up.
Okay, good. And we'll do a recap probably Monday on just what's been going on out there. Let's go to Apple Valley, California. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, George. Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Big fan. I'm your number four fan.
I've got four total. That's good.
No, I didn't want to be number one because it's a little too close. Number four, I kind of like that. Keeps the distance.
Four,
you know?
Four, by the way, is my favorite number.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yes. And what was I going to say? I have heard your show a little while back when you had Jesse Ventura on the show.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be coming on in the not too distant future again.
Yes, and he was talking about, you know, this whole thing about the conspiracy. And I mean, I'm really down with what his you know. I mean, I like him a lot. I think he's a man of principle, and he's really strong headed about, you know, doing something about all this crazy stuff that the government is involved in and all that. And I wanted to say, if you thought it would be too, you know, maybe you can mention this to him, or maybe I'll get a chance to call when he's on the show, if it's possible. But I wanted to say, you know, because he's so much into trying to figure out this thing about how these buildings came down and the lies are behind it, you know, and all that. And don't you think it would be somehow, if there's a way that you could build a replica or put enough money, bring enough money on the table where you could build a replica of the side of the Pentagon exactly the way it is with the, you know, with the cement, you know, the whole building. That part was where they say with the 9/11, the commission says that a plane hit that part of the Pentagon, which never, that did not look like it, because I saw it. I was watching it live when it happened, and I didn't see any plane going in it. That building was still standing. So, you know, and if a 747 had hit it, it would be pretty obvious, like it was in the tower. So I thought, why not build, and maybe we just even do it with his power and his strength and, you know, and his fame, that he could maybe, we could all pitch in and come up with enough money to build this replica out in the desert somewhere, and then fly a plane into it—a real plane with a remote control, because the military, they have that. They do.
Yeah. I've seen. It'd have to be a drone, no doubt.
It'd have to be a drone, yes. But the same size, the actual thing, like I say, because it was Flight 187 or something, where there's some, you know, that they went into the building. They never found any body or nothing, no remains or nothing, but. Wouldn't that be something that we could challenge and I think Jesse would be, he would seem to be like the right person to follow suit on that, you know?
Well, you know, David, interesting idea. Very expensive to duplicate, you know, to build the building, at least that wall, like the Pentagon, and then, you know, the plane itself, that's in the millions of dollars. I'm not sure anybody would come up with that kind of money to do that. What do you think?
Well, George, they spent $100 million. This is what I read. I'm not making this up, but maybe you can, you know, maybe I'm wrong enough. But I heard that on the Bill Clinton sex scandal, they spent $100+ million of taxpayer money. On 9/11, the investigation only cost, they only spent $4 million.
Well, I don't know if that's all they spent on 9/11, but you're right about the Clinton investigation and the subsequent impeachment proceedings and everything else. It sounds ludicrous that they would, that, you know, things are up and down. You know, what's up is down, what's down is up. But I just don't think you're going to get anybody to fund it anymore. They don't even want to open up the investigation anymore, and that's unfortunate. I just want to get some additional answers. That's all. I don't know what happened, but I want to get some additional answers, and I do not believe the 9/11 Commission did a very thorough job, and most of the members will tell you that. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Josie, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Josie.
Well, hi. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine.
I did pray for that Arizona and the fire, and
let's get it to rain out there.
I hope everybody would do it all at once because that might even make it stronger.
Yeah.
And pray in the God's will, of course, that there'd be no untoward problems. I want to call about another cover up, which is not talked about very much because it's so covered up, and that is the not accidental but deliberate intentional attack on the USS Liberty. And I know this quite well because I have attended reunions with the crew. My brother was one of the 34. Mm-hmm.
And the anniversary was just a few days ago, wasn't it?
It was. We all went to the Arlington Cemetery to the tomb of all those that were unknown. They were either partly vaporized or had to be scraped off the deck. So it was a pretty bloody affair. And so we had a nice little communication there. And sometimes you get new stories as you go to these things. One man who worked for Lockheed Martin said that he was telling the Liberty story, giving a presentation, and somebody, he never was able to know who, the accuser never comes forth, and said he didn't like his tone of voice. And so his boss called him into the office and said, if you ever mention the Liberty again on the premises of the Lockheed Martin, you'll be out of a job.
Well, let me give everybody a real quick overview about the USS Liberty. It was a U.S. spy ship at the time during the 1967 war between Israel and Egypt and Syria. And we had this ship out there in the waters, and the Israelis claimed that they thought it was an Egyptian cruiser. And
a rusted horse carrier about to be scrapped.
But Egyptian.
Oh, yes. But it was the only thing the Egyptians had, and it was all tied up in port. And they had done 5 hours of surveillance prior to this, and it was a clear day. There was
How many U.S. sailors died? 34. 34
and
died.
The rest of the ship were wounded. That's about 171.
And many on the ship that survived claim that there's no way they would not have known that it was not a U.S. ship, that they should have known.
Not only that, but George, the NSA was overhead, you know, the no such agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard the pilots that were below them, because they were flying way up high, and they were monitoring everything and heard the pilots talking about the fact that they were that it was an American ship.
There was a report once that I've not been able to confirm that an Israeli pilot was ordered to shoot the ship, and he said, no, it's an American ship, and they kept ordering him to do it. He refused.
Yep.
And came back. Now, that's what I've heard. But, the bottom line is...
Yes, there is one. There was a case.
The Israeli government says it's a tragic mistake. They made a mistake. They admit
Cover
the
up.
Mistake. And a lot of other people, Americans, people on the ship say absolutely not. It was a cover-up. There's talk that Lyndon Johnson at the time ordered the investigation to just say it was an accident and so be it.
That's right.
The theory I heard on those who believe it was a cover-up, they claim that Israel wanted to bring us into the war just in case and needed an episode to make it seem like the Egyptians or somebody fired upon us.
Yeah, there was a lot of deception like that.
It's a whole story. I don't think, like that case, Josie, I don't think we're going to get to the bottom line on that either.
Oh, yes, we have the bottom line. We have so much evidence. If you go to USSLiberty.com or .org, you will find that.
But my point is it's going to stay there. I don't think there's going to be a formal.
But the Congress is all bought off. Let's face it. I mean, you know, forget that. We even have John McCain wanting to let go our most notorious spy, Jonathan Pollard.
This is what I've learned about people. When episodes occur that are uncomfortable for people,
uh-huh.
What, regardless of what they are, people don't want to open it up again, whether it's 9/11, whether it's how you believe the USS Liberty was sank and destroyed, not sank.
How it was sunk, yeah.
But a lot of people just don't want to open up a can of worms anymore.
Well, not only that.
Do you find that to be the truth?
Yes, that happens. But then, you know, truth starts oozing out as 40 years go by. And now it's 44 years. And, for example, one of the books here is Jeff Gates, Guilt by Association. Jeff Gates writes that he discovered that the Security Council and the Johnson and the Israelis had gotten together saying to plan this six-day war thing, that they wanted to make it look defensive. Now, there's some more deception there, because the neighbors did not fire first on the war was a surprise attack on Egypt. That was the biggest with Air Force and tanks, and they knocked them out immediately. There was no defense from any of the other neighbors of around Israel, and they made it look like they were the poor victims and so forth. That's how they have to make it look.
See,
I
don't know about that, Josie. You know, I do know that the Egypt and Syria started to amass tanks and everything else, and they came in, and they came in strong. And there was some talk that for a moment they thought that those two countries might be able to topple Israel at the time. So I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, who fired first? I have no idea. You know, Israel has been a staunch ally of the United States for years, since its inception in 1948. And I still believe we need to stand by that country. But we should also stand by them to the point and say, we've got to get something done for the Palestinians now. We have to do it. I don't necessarily agree with President Barack Obama's decision to carve back the borders back to 1967. I think Israel does need its defense, and where the borders are now, that's the way it is. In war, you don't have to give back land, I don't think. But we definitely need to find a spot for the Palestinians, give them jobs, rebuild the place for them, and give them some hope. Because if we do not give them hope, that this problem in the Middle East is going to fester for all of our lives and our kids' lives and their kids' lives. It's never going to go away. Never going to go away. So it would be nice if one presidential candidate would have the guts to step forward and talk about some real issues. I haven't heard that yet. You know what? I don't know if you have, but I haven't heard that. I'd love to hear a presidential candidate say, we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to bite the bullet on these things with the economy and we've got to stop spending money. And we're just going to get this stuff done. Sounds like I'm running, but I'm not. But somebody has got to have the guts to do that. And that person needs to be elected, whether it's a Ron Paul or anybody else. Anyway, I'll be back in a moment on Open Lines. You can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, go to our website. We've got that new Coast to Coast mobile for you, for those of you with iPhones and Androids now. That's right, Androids. You're going to be able to do some incredible things with your phone and listen to Coast AM. Well, on our weekend edition of Coast to Coast AM, of course, on Saturday, Ian Punnett will be with us talking about the secret life of money in the Vatican. And then on Sunday, Rob Simone joins us with Tom Carey and Don Schmidt as they talk about the Roswell crash with some updated information on that as well. And then I'll be rolling back for you Monday with Doreen Virtue as we talk about her work, Saved by an Angel, on Coast to Coast AM. And I'll be right back with more of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Let's pick it up by going east to the Rockies. Chris is there in Clemex, North Carolina. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
We just had an interesting experience. Me and my coworker were taking a break outside in this large gypsy moth. I don't know if you've ever seen one before. They're about the size of a small bird or
they're big. Yeah.
Yeah. It came over and landed on his leg, and he sort of chewed it off, and we decided to go back in, and this moth went in the building ahead of us, and it landed on the floor. So I bent down and let the moth climb up on my finger so I could let it go outside. You know, they're real pretty insects. So we opened the door to let him go out, and it actually flew back in and flew around my friend twice and flew up his shirt and then disappeared. We looked everywhere for it. He took his shirt off and everything, and we couldn't find it. And we were kind of wondering if there's some sort of folklore or something attached to it.
Well, let me ask you. I don't know if he's gotten a call or not, but sometimes someone close in the family dies, and they come back in different forms. That's a possibility, or it could be someone who has died recently or within a year or two in his life, and they're coming back that way too. You might want to ask him.
Okay, I sure will do that.
Well, and if let me tell you, if he says, Ray, yeah, somebody, Chris, that somebody died, you know, a few weeks ago, a dear friend of mine or somebody, that's probably what it is.
No, that's wow. All right.
Let us know. Let us know if you can get back in. I'd like to know that. Let's go to Ray in Gainesville, Florida. There you are. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. I've called in on very significant events before, and you said that this was pending.
Yeah.
Well, I got a good one for you. I'm an amateur scientist. I'm not an astronomer or scientist, but I'm an amateur scientist and somewhat psychic, and the moon is coming into a closer orbit. And I started telling Art Bell this in the year 2000. I said it again when the earthquake hit Hades, and the one that hit Japan, and the freaky weather, the floods, the droughts, fires, and stuff like this. This is all being caused by the moon coming into a closer orbit. It's like a vortex. You know, you have the moon tidal waves.
Sure.
And when I said it, when I called in before, it was either the Los Angeles Times or the New York Times was saying, oh, it's an optical illusion. Now they admit and they say, well, normally it goes away from the Earth. It goes further out an inch a year. Now it's coming in close. And they admit that it's happened 18, 19 years ago. But I think it's more than that. And I could go into a lot of the scientific reasons for it, but very simply, if you take a magnet and you add pancake more magnets together, like the ones that you get in science stores, the magnetism on the end magnet or any other magnet will increase by the number of magnets that you put together. Or if you have critical mass, you know, uranium critical mass, when you bring the two portions of the critical mass closer together, they begin to heat up and glow. Well, it also takes place in the solar system when all of the planets are lined up, or if another heavenly body, another astronomical body, comes closer to our sun, our solar system, then the gravitational pull between the planets, or between our sun and another sun, like say star, you called it
Nibiru.
The one that's whatever the reasons of whatever mass is coming in, whether it's dark matter, whatever it is, there's things going on in the solar system and in the beyond the solar system that are causing the moon gravity to come in closer to the Earth. Now the reason
you're expecting, let's get to the bottom on this. You're expecting some kind of major catastrophe because of
in
this,
other
right?
words, as it's coming in closer to the Earth, which it's going to continue to do, as it comes in closer to the Earth, that it increases the gravity on the Earth. It increases the pull.
So what's your window, Ray? What's your window here of possibility?
Time-wise?
Uh-huh.
Well, right now we're like 11 seconds past midnight. Midnight was the year 2000, May 5th, 2005, when all the planets were lined up. Okay, they're still relatively lined up. We also have 36,000 years of when this thing comes back around. Last time it came around, we had Noah's flood. So we've got a lot of
3,600 years, not 36,000.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 100 years. Well, whatever it is, there's events that only happen every few thousand years. And all the planets line up, it only happens every 2,000 years. So we have several events that with what I call the zipper of the universe is coming together.
The problem is we don't know where this is going to be, do we?
You mean like when it's going to happen?
Where? Yeah. We don't know where.
Well, I don't know exactly on the Earth. It's going to affect the whole Earth. As the moon goes around the Earth, the tidal waves, the tidal effect, everything, including mine cave-ins and everything else, is going to happen all the time until it begins to go back out.
Well, I'm wondering if the Mayan calendar date of December 21st, 2012, again, was hedging toward that. I've always said that I expect something to happen with the sun, and it is ironic that the sun activity continues to pick up. We'll see. Star is in Irwin, Tennessee. Hey, Star, welcome to the program.
Hey, George. How are you? Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk tonight about something that I think is so interesting. I had, of course, listened to your show for years and had heard Ed Grimsley on your show.
Uh-huh.
And about this fall will be 2 years ago, Joshua P. Warren was going to have him up in North Carolina, which is just over the mountain from me in Tennessee. In Asheville there, they were going to do the whole sky fishing thing. And so I decided, I want to go because I had experience with UFO as a child and do believe. no, for a fact. Nobody could tell me there's no such thing because there is. But anyway, so me and my son, we went. And, you know, at first it was cool. They had the thing set up in the parking lot, you know, and a big screen TV and lots of the night vision goggles, third generation, because you have to use the third or that didn't work.
Yeah, they've got to be that sensitive.
Right. And so it was amazing. I mean, it was just like, what is going on?
You see these things darting around, making turns left, right, 90 degrees. It's amazing,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yep. And I guess it's beyond me to understand why that there's no more talk about it than what there is.
How many did you see? I saw two when I was with Grimsley once.
Oh, there was a lot. Of course, there was quite a few people there. I don't remember the exact amount. There was, I think, like maybe somewhere between 15 and 18 people. And, I mean, when somebody saw it, they was, you know, hey, oh, go here. And they had a little pointer, like you would play with a cat, you know, with a little laser pointer.
Yeah.
And use that to point them out. I guess I saw 5 or 6, 7.
I know. It is amazing. Grimsley, I did not believe Ed until he brought me up on the roof of a hotel once and pulled out his night vision goggles. And I saw these stars just truly magnificent. And they are everywhere. Let's go next to Matt in Holland, Michigan. There you go, Matt. Welcome to the show. Hi, Matt.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
Okay. All is well.
I was pretty interested. I was wondering if you're going to have a show one of these days. I forget the name of that author, the guy who did Chariots of the Gods.
Eric von Daniken. He was on with me a couple months ago.
Oh, I had to miss it. There's another guy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly or not. Zachariah Sitchin.
Zachariah Sitchin. This is not your day. Zachariah Sitchin died several months ago.
That's too bad. Well, at least I got to read his Earth Chronicles. I think it's just it's a really fascinating subject. I'm reading about it all the time, and I'm surprised how many people I encounter on the street whenever I talk about it. They have, you know, they're not familiar with this, that most of the world religions that we come in contact with are really adaptations that go all the way back to earlier civilizations, Mesopotamia and Samaria, and it's pretty fascinating that these, you know, human documentation and these cuneiform tablets of aliens having come down, engineered mankind, basically genetically engineering us to be workhorses because they needed our natural resources. And then basically because of their civil war, they have to leave the planet, and then we end up here afterwards after the fact. But it's just really amazing stuff.
Well, and when you compare it to the book of Genesis about fallen angels coming down here and doing whatever they have done, The similarities are kind of strange, aren't they?
Oh, very much so. I think people hear about the Nephilim and they don't really know what to do with that, but that's where I guess these guys in these books, they actually talk about that. And it's just really interesting that these ancient civilizations, they've actually documented those things, and it helps fill in those gaps that usually, you know, I used to go to the church growing up and they could never really give me much of a solid answer, but they've actually seemed to be able to provide more of a solid answer in archaeology than I could otherwise, and pretty amazing stuff.
If you were in a time machine, Matt, would you go back to that period just to be a witness?
I don't know. I mean, I like to think of myself as an earthy guy, but I like to be around modern medicine in case something happens to me or my wife. I like the idea of, I like technology. I like the modern age. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to know answers to certain things like that, mysteries or something. That's somewhat of the romance, I think, not really knowing for sure. But we wouldn't have these great shows like this if we knew all of the answers.
All right. I love it. And you have spurred me to come up with an idea for next Friday's hotline. This is what we're going to do, and this is how creative you're going to have to be. But I think I'll open up a hotline for you to be a time traveler. That's not a hotline for time travelers to call us. It's a hotline for you to be a time traveler. I want you to use your imagination and go back to some period of time or into the future and tell us what you're witnessing. I want you to be a witness to a past or future event. And we'll do that. We'll do that as an open line topic next week. That should be fun. Let's go to Vista, California. Al is with us, first time caller. Hey, Al, welcome to the program.
Yes. How are you, George?
Good, sir. Thank you.
With Dr. Albright, she was talking about spirits leaving or souls continuing to exist. Well, when one of my, I'm in Vista, and a granddaughter was in about 4 years old in San Marcos, and she told her mother that she and I had lived before and that we had gone up the Mississippi River on, I assume, one of the older paddle wheel boats years ago, and it sank and we both drowned.
Oh, my God.
But then she had lived since then, but that I hadn't lived until this time, as a repeat. And now she is here once again. And to kind of confirm this in my mind, then when her husband, my daughter's husband, and she moved to Dallas, Texas area, and she was about 5 years old then, and they have a replica of old Dallas. And when she was in that area with her mother, why, she told where the store was located. And while they were walking around, the store wasn't where she had indicated it would be. She was familiar, obviously, with the area,
yeah,
as an early settlement. And then later, my daughter saw the sign on a wall where the store had been there, but for whatever reason, they had relocated it.
They moved it.
They moved it. And then with, now for people in spirit, we've had here at the house many experiences, family members that have passed on and all, you see them frequently and no thing that way. But the one uncle who had passed quite a few years ago, this might have been maybe 15 or 20 years ago, my daughter, middle daughter, could see period. I saw him and my wife did, but she could communicate with him. And so on Saturday evenings, after the children would go to bed, we'd sit in the living room, and we would discuss what the possibilities were on the different things were happening, and mostly just simple things that were the order of the family passing and whatever. And he said he would prefer not discussing that. It wouldn't be good. It'd be like a death watch.
Really?
But then he did tell us, and the family did pass the order he gave them in, that sequence. And then that will answer different questions that we had. A lot of them were nonsense. But I did ask him a few things that were of importance, such as where will be the best place to reside when the things hit the fan. And
What did he say?
Well, he did, but I'm not going to tell that to many people going there. But also, when my son had his hand injured, and my wife and I would, after he got out of the hospital, he was to keep the one hand in the air to prevent injury. So one evening while I was in there while he was resting, why my mother, who was in San Diego at the time, why she did an out of body experience, and you could see her in living color, as you could see my uncle here and my sister.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really interested, Al, in the little girl who had that past life regression. That's something Dr. Bruce Goldberg should be studying. Her that truly is an amazing story. We're already at the top of the hour. When we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, we will have a very special blast from the past for you. So sit back, get ready, and enjoy this one on Coast to Coast AM. A blast from the past. Here we go.